Welcome to The Angle. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. I'm with my big boy, Scott. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Good, good. We have a special guest in the building. A man we snitched right of a conference. This man was sitting at a conference at Tsimulong, some CTIN civic tech conference, minding his business. And I thought, hey, we have an innovator in the building and a podcast to shoot. So we took him right out of the conference, and here we are. Mr. Israel, how are you doing, sir?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm very well.
Israel is an innovator. He builds a number of technologies. He is from Lagos, Nigeria. Interested in one of the products he created called ChatHive, which is a fact-checking tool, plugged with Twitter, X, by the way. Quite an interesting tool. So pretty much if people are telling lies, you are able to fact-check them lies on using ChatHive, the platform that Israel built. Mr. Israel, welcome to The Angle.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure having me.
Can you just give us a brief intro on who Israel is, where you come from, your background, and how you get caught in this world of technology?
Okay. Let me see if I should start with how I get caught in the technology world. We might not live here on time. So let me just quickly say who Israel is and my background. I'm an ICT 4D expert, that is an information communication technology for development. So because we have some other people in my fields who are focusing on the profit, which is the ROI. But for me, in my own case, the ROI here is impact and development, so which makes me an ICT 4D expert. And I have over a decade of experience, 5 years of experience in data science. I'm a Python programmer and also a cybersecurity expert. So I started my journey with one of the largest civic lab on the continent, which is Code for Africa, headquartered in Kenya, but also have an office in Johannesburg in South Africa. So through my engagement over the past years, you know, developing several innovative tools for both government and non-state actors, so I've been able to grow, evolved, and that led to the invitation to attend the Civic Tech Innovation Network Forum happening at the Chimolungu Precinct.
Oh, girl, I will put you on blast. It's Chimolungu.
Okay.
You see, I'm learning Pidgin English. You must learn some of our language.
I'm definitely trying.
Yeah. So, nice intro there. What problem are you solving with ChatHive?
Thank you. So we are looking at the emerging technologies around the world. As we all know, I've heard the 4IR, that's the fourth industrial revolution. And we have a couple of technologies linked to this. And one of the leading one, or let me say the buzzword after they took out a blockchain in Nigeria, is artificial intelligence. Mm. And we also understand that there are so much problems now that are being created by AI. So when a problem is created by AI, so you cannot use other means to actually solve it. So you have to use AI to solve it. So in the digital era where we find ourselves today, people rely so much on social media platforms to actually get the accurate, like the instant news they wanted to hear. So, and this is also changing the way traditional media outlets now operate. So they also tailor their news to, you know, fit in the social media platforms which users are always and constantly on. And also at the same time, as we are able to quickly spread news, and the same thing goes for misinformation and disinformation. And in fact, it even goes faster than the truth news. And we also understand that there are so many deepfake contents out there. So there was a time I was at a conference and I was shown 10 different pictures. So I was told to figure out which one is the real picture and which one is the one generated by AI. So I got like 3 correctly out of 10. So that's so bad. So meaning that mere looking at it with human vision, human eye, we won't be able to spot some things which AI will be able to spot, because AI can easily measure the distance between your nose and your eye, the distance between your nose and your lip, which you might not be able to figure out with your eyes. So, and this now started causing issues on social media, on the internet, because the level of deepfake content, especially around election and all that. Yeah. So you see so many things coming up. You can just see a candidate, you know, with a voiceover and his lips, or how lips moving and saying different things and all that. So we believe that we should also match the level of, you know, technology of some of these, let me say, unpatriotic actors to be able to actually, you know, discern what is true and what is fake. So that is how we come about, you know, developing ChildV. And ChildV was born out of an hackathon on the 11th of February, 2023. The hackathon was organized by Code for Africa, which I've mentioned earlier, with partnership from Charter Project Africa, funded by the EU, and also Democracy Lab. So Democracy Lab is like an organization created under the Creative Commons in the US. So that is where ChildV emerged as the overall winner of the hackathon across the world.
Oh, so... All right, so I've been working in media for a long time. I've been in newsrooms for a long time. And this problem that you're looking into and you're providing some solutions for has been around for a while as well. There's always been some sort of semblance of misinformation. So I just need to help you, or rather help us, package your parameters of how this tool works now. So you're not really dealing with text information. You're looking at images specifically or video specifically. And within that space, are you now... You're determining whether that's a created video, not necessarily a fact-checking video. You're just checking whether that video or picture is real, as in not generated by an AI. Just to clarify for us how your product might work or what it looks at.
Okay. So currently, ChildV fact-checks claims in text. So we have a different tool that fact-check video claims. And also, we don't have a tool that can say, okay, this one is generated by AI, this one is not generated by AI. Although we have access to a resource called GPT-0. So GPT-0 helps us check what is, you know, humanly created and what is generative AI created. So currently, what ChildV does is when we see a claim, even if it's a video claim. So let's say, for instance, I saw a viral video saying there is an outbreak of a particular disease somewhere, and you know, 200 people have been infected or dying, and there is a video towards that. So all I would just say is, hey, hi, ChildV, can you please fact check the trending video about a claim of so disease and all that? So it understand. It can browse the internet. This is a feature that was missing in ChatGPT when it first came. So it can browse the internet on its own. Now look for that video and work on some metadata. When was the video first appeared on the internet? Where was it first shared and all that? And use that to actually now come to a conclusion and say, oh, okay, this video is not genuine because this video has been in existence before when this person say this claim is happening. I'll give you an example to that. So when the military junta took over in Mali, so there was a video of a man crying. So, and there was a claim going around with the video saying that that is the Minister for Finance that is crying because the military junta said if he does not give account of how the state fund were being managed, it will be executed. So whereas it's a different thing. So sometimes we find ourselves, you know, a different video being pushed with different narratives and all that. So we are able to actually separate the two of them. But when it now comes to identifying, okay, this is a real image and this is a synthetic image or AI generated image, then we use a different tool.
Oh, interesting. So it can take in any input?
Yes, text, it can take image, in text, image, video. And video.
Okay. So in like to Scott's point, if a news media house writes an article, so it may be about you, right? And they make all sorts of assumptions and accusations and stuff. Can I use this thing to go? Can I use ChildV to go, hey, can you fact check if any of the information that's mentioned in this article exists in the public domain is actually factually true?
Yes, not currently we have that feature, because what I would have suggested you do in that case is that you can export it in PDF format and upload it so you can vet everything. But what we can also do in this case is maybe check some of the claims in that particular article. So let's say they say I have over 20 years of experience and all that. So you can just start picking them. Israel has 20 years of experience. It goes on my LinkedIn profile. See that I say I have 10 years of experience on my LinkedIn, so it can easily tell you. So rather than the entire article itself. And also if they said, okay, Israel is a tech founder and also this and that. So maybe it is a title of the article. So you can also fact check that. Okay, is Israel a tech founder? Is he also a medical doctor? So you can also tell you, no, I don't see anything relating to medical experience or medical educational background on his profile, and just separate them.
Okay. And currently ChatV is integrated with X?
Yes. So we have so much limitations with that.
Okay.
Number one, interface. Another thing is the number of characters. So when Elon took over, so the amount of text you can chunk out, I think 280 characters. Yeah. So, and we have some cases whereby ChatV, we want to, because ChatV fact check in three different phases. One of it is when it retrieves what you are trying to fact check. The second one is when it started browsing the internet looking for evidence to support the claim. And the last one is when it's trying to, you know, validate, providing you with sources which it used to fact check. So we have issues with, you know, outputs. We can only deal with 280 characters at a go. So we are unable to push in more text, and we have so many cases whereby Chavi want to fact check in 300 characters, 1,000 characters, providing you with links and sources to, you know, validate its output. So we now decided that, okay, let's have it on Hex and let's stick to 280 characters. Also, we can have a web version which can chunk out up to 250 words for you over 1,000 characters. So that is how we are able to manage it, the integration. And our reason for integrating on X is no any other reason that we all agree that X is one of the largest platforms where misinformation, disinformation, propaganda are being spread unchecked.
Right. So with ChatV, you can curb a lot of misinformation and disinformation on X.
Great. And in fact, once it is, when you see a claim and you fact checked it, every other person see that this has been debunked.
Okay.
So it's the only tool that exists outside closed messaging apps, instead of other tools that, you know, can easily fact check via instant messaging, and nobody except you and the bot itself will be able to see. But on Hex, everybody can see it. It has been fact checked on the timeline.
Oh, interesting. So with ChatV, we can stop a lot of nonsense trending. People can just start a trend that's based on nothing. So with ChatV, we can just fact check if whatever this thing that's trending is actually real.
Before you share as well.
Yeah, before you contribute to this trend.
Exactly, exactly. Ah.
So, I mean, I want to dig into it a little bit because I know this this problem is not an easy one to solve. And there's a few different ins and outs, you know, based on whether something is true or not. And there's different versions of truth out there. I mean, if you're searching the internet for the truth, it's not always easy. And so AI, if it's trained properly, is a very great tool in that space. So my question would be to you is, I mean, generally, what's the pickup from an audience usage perspective? Is it considered to be credible in the right circles, like in terms of other media houses or journalists? Do they use it in some sense? Is it picked up? Like, what's the usage really? I mean, how's it being implemented or used among the general public, if at all, at this stage?
Yeah, thank you. So I think we built ChatV for media platform, and I find it being used more by individuals. So we were discussing earlier on that how many media platforms do we have using it. So I was saying about four, whereas we have thousands of users from across the world. So I think when I get back to the country by the end of this year, we also, you know, export out our analytics and see where some of our users tagging ChatV has been coming from, because we use ChatV for a whole lot of use cases. So if you go on our timeline, you will see even before the South African election, we were able to do some fact checking. It's on our platform there. About there are a couple of figures around the economic growth in South Africa, which were released by the candidate and others. So we did a little bit of fact checking. So when it comes to the usage, the individual users have actually, you know, been much more interactive, even compared to media outlets which we built it for. Because we understand that fact checking is a very long process. Before you fact check a claim, the damage has been done. The content has gone viral. But the moment you are done fact-checking and you now say, okay, this thing is true. Okay, this thing is misleading.
Yeah.
People that have even seen the fake one, they might not see the one that you've debunked.
Right.
So, and that makes us now start tilting to, okay, let's just put this tool in the hand of users. So, I think they are everywhere. So, they can even be, they have this wider oversight compared to us. And another thing when we are talking about credibility is that although we started very small, Chatview was trained on ChatGPT 3.5 Turbo, which has been phased out and we've moved to the latest model. And then we had about 7.7 billion parameters. And some of these were just curated news articles from verified sources. And fact-checking is done using, you know, Wayback Machine, digging through a knowledge base, finding evidences and all that. And Chatview does the same thing too. So I would say to some extent, it's credible. And there is one key thing which I, well, let me just say it. It's, it's part of our, how do you call it, trade secret. So what we did with Chatview is that rather than Chatview just reeling out rubbish for you and, you know, contributing to, you know, misleading you the more, there is a particular way we train the bot, the LLM itself, to understand that, hey, you are not just an ordinary person. You are a researcher, you are a journalist, and you are a fact checker. So when you don't understand something, rather than you just saying, giving us what is not, just say you are not sure. So, and that has been our key way to go.
So it does give those responses.
Exactly,
I'm not sure.
Exactly. When Chatview is not sure, instead of giving you something wrong, instead of just coming up with something for you on itself, the bot was strictly trained to say that I'm not sure. So then you can now start looking for other sources. For verification, so it's all on our XP. You will see some of the where, some of the places where it says I'm not sure. Some of the places where it says, okay, this is my output. Some of the places it says, okay, fine, this thing is true.
So taking like a context of elections, for example, and that's when real issues about you know, generated videos and fake news is becomes a huge problem when you start when you start influencing the voters' perceptions. Speed is of the essence in this case, and I think I read on your site that there is a way that you flag misinformation, whether it's a video or image, correct me if I'm wrong here, using some sort of tag or some sort of pixel of some sort on that image, so when it's further distributed, it's automatically flagged as something fake. I'm not sure. Technically, I'm a bit unclear how that actually works.
Yes, I actually got a question. So we were looking at, okay, we don't just want to be fact-checking and telling you this is false and this is true. We find out that there is what we call the, how do I put this, social or psychological impact when you do something. We discover that after even fact-checking a claim and Chatview tells you that this is false, some people still go ahead and share that thing.
Even though they know it's not true.
Mm-hmm. So some people will still go ahead and share that thing.
Okay.
So that is not, that now comes
time,
to
man.
That yeah yeah. So that now boils down to social behavior issue. So, but we feel like, okay, fine, we should have a way to solve this problem. I remember during the development with Chatview, we worked with a couple of developers in the US, and I was also looking at some tools which they've built. I came across a particular tool called Take It Down. So Take It Down helps protect the video, explicit video content of minors. So that when you when you are trying to share it, they pull it down. So that's what you are referring to, that when you're trying to share it again, it flags it and they pull it down. So, but we've not been able to achieve it because we need a synergy with platform owners.
Exactly, yeah. You can't just do things on other platforms.
Exactly. Yeah. So we need a synergy with platform owners so that in such a way that there is a tech around it, which is a digital fingerprint. Every information has a digital fingerprint. So it is that digital fingerprint that we are leveraging on to say, okay, when you see this digital fingerprint of a claim that has been debunked and someone is trying to share it again, can you just, you know, pull it down? So, but the reason here, the gap here is that the limitation is that this cannot be done in a way by Chatview. So we need the synergy from platforms.
And just a quick point on that, I would suggest that intentional shares of disinformation should be flagged as well, and this technology kind of leans into that space next a little bit. Like,
okay,
if you're deliberately sharing fake news, fake videos that you know are false, and determining whether you know something is false or not is a different problem. But say it's already been flagged and it's already clear that video is false, to now continue to share it again, I would lean into a database, because I'm over it. Like, there's so working in media as long as I have, there's so much of it. And people, as to your point as well, yeah. people just continually share crap for their own hits and views, you know, not really paying attention to the damage it causes,
to the broader
situation.
Yeah. I totally agree with him. I have a colleague who works with Meta and Hex. She's in the UK. That's what they do. Not even people that, you know, sees fake news. There are some people that they just open an account just to be sharing propaganda for political actors and others. So we flag some of these accounts. Yeah. So there are some popular names that know this person is known for sharing fake news and misinformation.
Do you reckon people can use tools like ChatV to spread misinformation? In this sense, if I know, if I'm fact-checking, but I'm not actually looking for the truth, I'm like, I'm trying to find as much damaging stuff on Scott as I possibly can. I'm going to use Chad Hive.
Hey, it's buried deep, man.
And then I pull all them skeletons out. And I go, okay, here's what's true about Scott. I'm not interested about that. I'm interested in all his skeletons. This man worked with the Guptas. All of that stuff.
Hey, I didn't... You're putting that on a podcast.
He did not work with the Guptas.
Disclaimer.
He worked with the Guptas, right? So I'm pulling all of that information and I'm putting it out to as a smear campaign or character assassination. Because I know for a fact, Chad V told me this is not true. But it's not true and I can see how much it is online. So I'm aware that people are aware of this lie about him. So if I tell this lie, that Chad V has made me aware that it is a lie, and now I know, okay, I have enough ammo to paint this man and character assassinate him as much as possible using the tool that was meant to curb misinformation and disinformation.
Yeah, so basically, this is what I would say. Well, you might not have found the other side of the information in the data set used to train Chad V. So Chad V might have gotten that for you somewhere else, which it will provide where it got it from to you. So it can just be, there was a case that, was it sometimes early this year or something? So the son of a governor in Nigeria had an issue with, I think so many media outlets in Nigeria started publishing that he went to a club, a fight broke out in the club, and I think he stabbed a Chinese guy or something, or maybe he killed a Chinese guy or something. So we just woke up in the morning and, you know, like 3, 4, 5 media outlets in Nigeria, reputable ones, have published that story. I was like, what? So I now told my team, okay, let's start, you know, picking this thing one after the other. The guy in question, is he even in India? Because I never know the guy. Nobody knows the guy. Is he in India? Is he a student? So let's start, you know, connecting the dots. So we pull it to Chad V. So Chad V related that, okay, despite the fact that there are so many media outlets that has, you know, published things around him, Chad V said the situation or the story is still a developing issue. So he doesn't have much, but the only thing he can provide is that truly, truly the guy is studying in India. So meaning that, okay, fine, he's in the country where they say the incident happened, but we need to, you know, start digging more. So is he at the club, geolocation, was he at the club that night, and all of those things. So sometimes you might not find the damaging information on Chad V, but even if Chad V gave them to you, so Chad V will let you know, okay, this is where I found this from. So, and at the end of the day, we might not get into trouble. So because we can say, okay, Chad V already told you this is the source for this and not from us.
So can I ask, maybe just kind of pull out a little bit and ask a little more practical questions on how it was built? I mean, what sort of team do you have? I mean, was this something that you were funded? You were talking earlier about some organizations you work with. How did it all come together?
So Chad V grew from the hackathon to a tool that attracts a global audience. I told you earlier on that we had a kind of... a session also with ICFJ. So I think you're a media person, you know, ICFJ is the International Center for Journalism. So about 400 solutions across the world were submitted late last year, you know, and 8 out of them with looking at their impact and all of those things, the technology behind them, it were selected and were given resources, including data sets, developers, you know, people that have worked with Google and X and all that. So I'm looking at the development team. Yeah. So we don't really have a very large team like that, but we are leveraging on our expertise and commitment. Myself, I'm a data scientist, so I supervise some of the code, the learning and everything. And we also have the development guys. I also have a developer who is a full stack. He's a Ghanaian. He's based in Ghana. So we work remotely, and I shuttle Ghana and Nigeria once in a while to have interaction.
I mean, what's the longer term thinking around it? Is it going to rely on funding moving forward, or it's not really the kind of thing that you would want to monetize? But I mean, I suppose there would be potentials for, you know, subscriber access in to some degree. I mean, how are you thinking about sustainability?
Yeah, thank you so much. So because we are incurring so much on X, the API itself, X is $5,000 per month using X API. So, and most tools have pulled out. Most tools have pulled out of X because of these costs. So I'm speaking on sustainability. So we look at what we want to do, where people actually pay to, you know, say this is true and this is not false, because again, we have a social issue whereby people just want to spread fake news. They just want to have the feeds on their, you know, and all of those things. So we people pay. So we now try to come up with a different business model which looks into, okay, we've seen what ChatV can do. How about we start, you know, building ChatV as a service? What do I mean? If you are an airliner or an hotel, you don't really need an assistant or maybe someone to be on the call 24/7 before you can, you know, have your bookings. So we have a template already which we are testing to that effect. So by just chatting up ChatV, can you just find me a cheap hotel around Johannesburg? So you can just have options. You have your options. So you don't need to speak to anybody. So ChatV, can you just, I want to change my flight, I want to reschedule my flight and all of those things. And also, we are looking at, this is a digital era. You run a business, fine, you have a website. I don't think I have time to be sifting through your 10, 30 pages of website looking for what services you render. So we can easily train ChatV with your custom business data. For instance, this facility, I can just say, okay, what time do they close here? What services do they render here? So like prompts to my own, rather than me going through your website and start clicking. So just interaction. Then you can, ChatV can easily do some of these frequently asked questions about your businesses to your audience instead of them. And even on platform, on social media platform where they use WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, instead of them going on www.so-so-so thing. So that is the business model. So money from that, then we start, you know, pulling it into fact checking, because for now I don't see where people want to pay for fact checking.
So that would be like a ChatGPT model.
Yeah.
Okay. So for a much better trained version,
custom of business data. Exactly. Yeah, custom business data, not just general data now. Okay. Custom business data.
Okay. So where does it sit? Is it a civic tech innovation thing, or is it like a normal innovation?
Let me just call it, it's now going to be like a social enterprise.
Okay.
So it's going to be a social enterprise. Because like you mentioned, we cannot just rely on grants fund forever. Right. So we just have to start making money to start generating funds and then plowing the funds back into social costs.
Just to take you back a bit, you said this was a product of a hackathon.
Hackathon,
Who created the hackathon?
Code for Africa, Democracy Lab, and the Charter Project. So those are the three organizations. Okay. Code for Africa,
okay.
Democracy Lab, and Charter Project Africa.
Oh, and was the hackathon based on the problem to solve? Was it misinformation and disinformation?
Exactly, and violent extremism.
Extremism.
Yeah. So you see toxicity online.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. You see
terrorism.
Yeah. So
essentially, if you're asking what violent extremism is,
That's it. Terrorism. So we now see. We now see where, you know, when people start, when some of these actors start monitoring your profile and they see, oh, this person is radical, it will be a potential recruit for violent extremism. So okay. they now recruit people to their cause online by monitoring what you post. So that is why we are trying to. So we have what we call the toxic comments scoring engine. So when you are trying to post something and it's, well, depending on the threshold of the organization, let's say, for instance, in this media organization, they publish articles and all that and open the comment section up for people to interact and all that. Yeah. So the back-end manager, the moderator can set it, okay, any comment that is 50% toxic cannot pass. So when you're trying to say something like, you know, trying to maybe swear for someone online and all that, so it won't pass.
Interesting. Yeah, I saw that on your site as well. I would be interested in terms of, because, I mean, it's nuanced. You wouldn't be, it would never be perfect, but there's, yes, your percentage would be, you know, generally how is your percentage of correct filtering? It must be relatively high. I would guess.
Yeah, so what we did is that we didn't just build it looking at maybe words generally. So we look at context. So there are some cases whereby you say some certain things that are not harmful. In Nigeria, when you are driving and you tell somebody to cut his hand, cut your hand, it means the person should, you know, turn to the other side.
Oh.
But if you say cut your hand, they might suspend your account. Like you are saying people should harm themselves. Yeah. So we look at context of what you're saying. And it's a machine learning algorithm. It's about 99.9% correct, accurate. And that is why we rolled out in English and French, because we deployed that, we tested that in Côte d'Ivoire at an exhibition in Côte d'Ivoire.
Yeah.
So, and some of our West African countries who brothers who speak French. So we rolled it out in English and French. But at the same time, I think I met with a guy from, I think, South Sudan yesterday. So he also talked about this with me. I said, okay, fine, we can do this for you in Arabic as well. And we can also look into other languages, even Western languages.
Yeah.
And this too also was a support given to us by Google. So some of the APIs and the machine learning models that we leverage on was from Google.
Interesting.
Nice.
You're an innovator.
Thank you.
This is not a TV show. this is a podcast. The answer call. You're an innovator. So
thank you.
Is this the only thing you're working on? Or are there other similar projects?
It's quite a big thing,
projects?
To be fair. It's quite a big thing, yeah.
So basically, because of what I've been working on, I'm now starting to see some side projects which can also improve on what I'm working on. For instance, where we are talking about ChatV only fact check in English. So what happens to other languages, especially African languages? So we started looking into building language database models, lexicons around our own language in such a way that I subscribe to BBC Swahili, that's why the fact that I don't speak Swahili yet, so that I can easily pick maybe Google Translate on one or two things and understand. So I looked at this, I said, okay, BBC Swahili would actually offer us rich data when we want to start training a model to speak Swahili, to understand Swahili. So these are some of other side projects that I'm working on. So building lexicons around African languages.
And are you training it on Nigerian languages?
Yes. So we are also training on three major Nigerian languages, Hausa, Igbo, Yoruba, although there is so much pressure to also incorporate the Nigerian pidgin. Mm. But we look into that.
How are you going to incorporate Nigerian pidgin?
So we actually have BBC pidgin too.
You have BBC pidgin?
Pidgin, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How many languages do you have in Nigeria?
Over 500 languages.
Good Lord. How are you going to train this?
It's not official, but yes.
Mm.
You know, in Nigeria, you can have a neighbor and not know what language they speak.
Definitely.
Good Lord.
Definitely.
Okay. And are you building any humanoids?
Not yet.
Is it something you guys will be going into?
Yeah, but we won't be the first, so because we have someone who has a humanoid but who speaks Nigerian languages, so okay. we won't be the first. So maybe we can look at having a humanoid that does something different.
Interesting. And sustainability around such projects is how do you monetize? Are they projects solely for social good, or do they have like a high potential of generating revenues and scalability throughout the continent?
Yeah, thank you. So as for sustainability, so we have some support from Global North, and some of these supports are in different phases. So we have some support that will be looking at an idea they want to build, and there are some that will be looking at an MVP they want to scale, and they are looking at some maybe two that they want to replicate somewhere else and expand. So this is some of the ways we've been able to sustain ourselves. But for now, you know, we are not in an idea phase anymore. So and some of this funding comes from the idea phase. So we start looking into funds to scale or to replicate somewhere else. So we also been looking to the Global North, and at the same time also trying to see how we can now start monetizing. And another way we want to start monetizing is we is a media personnel. So we also want to look at a personalized news content. So I don't just want to wake up, because sometimes I just wake up, I wake up to so many toxic news, which I don't want to see. So how about I start, you know, seeing news that I wanted to see? Maybe I just want, today, I don't want to hear the killed 200 in Gaza, they killed 300 in Lebanon. I don't want to hear anybody firing rockets and that. I just want to see sport news, so I can easily, you know, start seeing sport news. So we are looking into personalized news, and for underserved community, people that does not even have internet access. So we are looking at maybe USSD and SMS messaging. So you just receive news and you read your news SMS. Fine, you are good to go.
Interesting. Oh, the sky's the limit, man.
Yeah. So I mean, in closing, What do you think makes Nigeria one of the top horsemen in tech on the continent? What's so unique about Nigeria?
So I think for us in Nigeria, we are very open to learn. Okay. And for instance, I didn't study in Nigeria. No. So I studied in Malaysia. So, but I look at the potential. I say, okay, fine, this knowledge, I have to take it back to my people. And also, I've been training students for more than 3 years on Python programming language for machine learning. So I also want to, you know, start building people even better than myself. So we have this spirit in us in Nigeria. And also we have the population, which is giving us also the leverage. Because when you build a tool in Nigeria, you can easily roll it out and have so much use and impact. Looking at the number of people you will reach, looking at the number of target audience you are touching, looking at the number of those target audience we also touch. So the impact is also very wide. And I think that is what has been giving us edge in Nigeria.
Interesting. Scott, any closing remarks?
Nice. Well, yeah, that's been a fascinating talk. I think
Thank you so much for having me.
Your fingers into lots of really interesting parts. from my perspective, I think the efforts into tracking and somehow attempting to curb misinformation on the internet, I applaud that effort. I think that's something we need, and something we're going to have. It's going to become a much bigger problem as we go down the line. So the sooner we can get some solutions in place now, that'll be great. Thanks for your time. I appreciate you coming through.
Thank you so much for having me.
Just before we go, lastly, just so the viewers can follow the how to use ChatV. So just walk me through. If I see a tweet and I suspect this is misinformation, disinformation of the highest order, how do I fact check this tweet from Scott?
Okay. First thing is you follow at @ChatV_.
Okay.
Then when you see it, the tweet, you don't need to leave that place where you see it.
Okay.
Under it, just like you want to reply to it or create a thread, just say @ChatV, fact check to call the bot up.
As fact a comment, check. In the comment.
Exactly, yeah. In the comment. Okay. And just put a phrase or line or one or two phrases on the context. So it might be a paragraph, might be a whole lot of things. So just say, is it true, this or so thing? Then Charlie will just tell you, hold on, I'm fact checking this for you. And even if it might take a minute or two or few seconds to reply, it will reply back to you and you will get a notification in that way that Charlie has replied back to you.
So it's @ChatV.
ChatV, fact check, then just context of the claim.
Okay.
Just a phrase or...
Yeah. One but how you would call in ChatV into that comment section is @ChatV.
@ChatV. Exactly, you mentioned ChatV. Okay.
@ChatV, fact check.
Yeah.
Then you put your little description, please check if this thing is true before I comment on it.
Exactly.
And then you'll get a notification once ChatV has
done.
Yes,
it replies back to you.
Okay.
Very nice.
Interesting.
I'll test it out today.
I am testing it out. Mr. Israel, thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure for having me.
So if people want to follow the work that you do, when can they follow you? I think that's your camera there.
Okay, so you can follow us at @ChatV_, and you can also follow me on X at @Olatunji, @Olatunji.
We'll put all that in the description of the video as well.
All right. We'll do all of that in the description below. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, notification bell, the whole nine yards. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's been The Angle Podcast.
Cheers.
Bye for now.